Open up to Luke 22, please. We're in the season of fasting, and of course, the more I read Scripture, I think the whole year is supposed to be a season of fasting. But we have sort of a pass down from Pastor Dave. In the first quarter of the year, he would emphasize fasting because we had just come out of the feasting holidays, I think. And I myself am endeavoring to lead by example, and I have been doing more fasting than I've done even in previous years. I've been doing much more prayer. I take seriously those 8 prophecies. I want to remind you again, this is a useful tool for you. The 8 consecutive prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, which they have sort of titled Bring Me Gold. That was the first one. And they have combined those into a single MP3. It takes about 54 minutes to play it. And we've got a sort of a challenge. This isn't necessarily from the Lord, but I believe it's really a good tool, a challenge that to hear those 30 times, to make sure you understand with all my heart, I believe it is the present hour mind of Christ for this church and everyone who has linked arms with this vision to bring a supernatural revival back to the earth. The last prophecy is the title is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be in the earth again. We're going to see it, the gospel, just like it was brought by the Master, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to see that. And myself, I don't mind telling you, I'm not 30 times yet. I'm number 12. Next time I hear it, it'll be number 13. But I'm endeavoring to do that myself. And praying while I listen. And listening while I'm praying. Does that make sense to you? And listening while I'm listening. You know what I mean by that? You have instruction for me out of this? Or is there something I've missed, Lord? Because I believe this is the answer. And the reason we're turning to Luke 22, and be honest with you, anytime I really anytime I increase my prayer time personally as a teacher, then my gift manifests more. I have written so many lessons, it would take a long time to preach them. But still yet, he's modified the one I was going to do this morning. I thought I had, you think you have it all lined out, and then, well, sort of. And so he took me to a particular verse. When I came into church, sitting right over there, a particular verse, I heard a phrase, I am ready. I heard that phrase, I am ready. So I go, I wish I knew every verse in the Bible by heart where I could just turn to it, but I got my little Bible app out on my phone. I am ready, New Testament. And it's Peter, of course. So, and then the very last song that was sung in worship, which I pay attention to that. I don't think anything happens by accident when you're led by the Spirit. And are you ready? I'm ready to serve you, I'm ready. So that was, I was already walked up here, had it open to the verse. When I heard that, I thought, okay, Lord, I think we're on track now. So Luke 22, really, the verse I'm after is 33, but let's start in verse 31. Very familiar passage. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, we know that's Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. How many are glad Jesus is praying for you? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now notice Peter's response. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready. Now in this case, he says, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now let's stop for a moment. Do you think Peter meant it? I think he meant it. I think he thought he was ready. I'm ready, Lord. In fact, if I would have known ahead of time, I know there's other verses where Peter said things like, even if all these other guys forsake him, I will never deny you. Remember that? Who's he talking about? The 11? Don't you know that endeared him to their hearts? we love Peter, you know, because he's transparent. He says, now, even if everybody, all these others, they might forsake you, I will not deny you. He meant it. And he meant it when he says, I'm ready. Now, in the context of, oh, yes, cut the, no, finish reading. Yes, sir. Verse 34. Yes, sir. God, I'm ghost. See? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice, three times, deny that thou knowest me. And I would like to put in there, not only are you going to forsake me, Peter, you're going to deny that you even know me at all. See, we think we're ready. This is part of the answer to the question, why aren't we already seeing the miracles? Well, we think we're ready. I've been at this a long time. I've been at the prayer center zama-zama years. I've been praying zama-zama hours. I've been fasting zama-zama days. I'm ready, Lord. Mm-hmm. Who knows the truth, you or him? Now, this is part of what I knew I was going to present before. He brought this aspect out this morning. I mentioned in passing, I think at Calling in the Lost, that I've already had the Sunday night service, that I myself have had two breakthrough days in fasting. I had something happen that I really don't even want to talk about much yet. But I had, for me, it's a personal breakthrough, something that in all my life had never happened before. And I got to be honest with you, there's a little part of me that's going, yes. You know, Dave talks about the first time somebody really got healed. I have arrived, you know. He was kind of shy before, but once that, wasn't it the ear that opened up? He says, she could not hear, but when I, and for those that can't see me, I've got my finger up over my head pointing to myself, but when I prayed for her, she got healed, you know. And part of you goes, I have arrived. I've read other testimonies of a fellow that said, first time I prayed for somebody and they fell down. Oh, and this is Gary speculating, not the Lord. I think part of the reason, see, the Lord could manifest the gifts through anybody in this room at any time, anywhere. But we don't see a whole lot of it happening yet. And I'm going, why? Well, what normally happens when that happens is... names escape me. I've known him 20 years. Lyle. Lyle. When I'm in this mode, names are difficult. I've known Lyle 20 years, see. Lyle, all of a sudden, walking through Walmart, sees someone, woman in a wheelchair. Lyle. And God actually uses him in the gift of healing, maybe coupled with the gift of faith. And it's impossible for him not to believe at that moment, you know. In the name of Jesus, stand on thy feet and walk. And lifts her up by the hand, just like Peter at the gate beautiful with that lame man. Lifts her up, and she's healed, and she starts running around the church. And suddenly, Lyle. Ah. And what normally happens there, your journey into God stabilizes at that level. And all he can do is use you in the gifts from that point on. And if there's not been sufficient mortification of the flesh, it won't be very long. The devil's going, you're going to get marked, and the devil's going to come around sniffing, looking around for handles, just like he did Jesus. And if he finds unmortified flesh, it won't be long. It'll be another scandal, another failing in the body of Christ. I'm not saying for sure, but I'm speculating that's part of why we're not seeing more of the gifts right at this moment. He's more concerned about our mortification than he is manifestation of the gifts. That's my humble opinion, or prideful opinion, only he knows. But it is my opinion, okay? So his mind in this season, he's not been instructing us through these prophecies, go to the street and lay hands on the sick, although we have scripture for that. What he's instructing us to do is pray and fast and get in his word and allow the mortification process to happen. So I want to use me and not you. I mentioned that fasting thing for a reason. I had a breakthrough, a couple of breakthroughs. It's no big thing, but for me it was a thing, and I could tell a difference. And I'm going, part of me goes, new step, higher level, whatever you want to call it. And about 3 days later, I went through the flesh's counterattack. I'm not even going to call it the devil. I think it was absolutely my flesh going, bet me. And I'm telling you, it reminded me, now it wasn't that as severe as what Dave talks about, but Dave talks about a time when he went through a war where he couldn't pray. You remember? He said, I couldn't bring myself to pray. I couldn't bring myself to even read the word. He says, now during that time, he said, I still had to go preach, and when I'd go preach, I love how he said it. He said, it's like God was staying in a different room at the same motel. And when I'd go preach, he'd go with me. He'd come out of his room and we'd go preach, and the anointing would be there, revelation would be there, power would be there. But then I'd go back to my room and he'd go back to his room. Isn't that a good description? And he said, then I just can't bring myself to pray. I can't really be even in the word. He said his flesh was tempting him to do immorality. He never went beyond what that was, and that's okay. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. We all know what it's like to be tempted. And he says, all I could bring myself to do was fast. And I'd lay on my bed with the remote. And I'd change the channels, one TV program to another. And he says, that's all I could do. I couldn't pray. I couldn't get in the word. Would you call that a counterattack from the flesh? See? Well, I went through something similar, and it would just lasted a day, thank God. But I mean, and I'm not normally one too much to be moved by my emotion, to be honest with you, most of the time, except when I do funerals, I have a hard time. People keep asking me to do funerals, and I don't know why. I'm not very good at it. But anyway, most of the time, I don't have Blue Mondays. I fight it, and I can get past it. I couldn't do it. I mean, all day long, I was just... It was a blue day. I don't think it was Monday, but it was a blue day. My emotions. I try and quote scripture, and like Dave says, every word just like a pancake to the floor. Just splat, splat. I am a child of God. Splat. Sure you are. I'm a child of light. Splat. I love you, Jesus. Splat. Nothing. Couldn't get my... I'd want to pray, and it was like, oh God, my God. You know, shaka, shaka. That's about all. I know I'll get in the word, and it's like my mind, my eyes would go across the words, but just, you know, you read the same page 12 times. What was on that page? And I, you know what I did all day? I hate to admit it. Had my remote. I wasn't watching bad, you know, sinful type, you know, really bad stuff. But just TV, just things, you know, a whole day lost, whole day. Nothing I did seemed to help. Gary, did you fast? No, I didn't even fast. No, I did not. I just changed the channels. It was, I felt like crying all day, you know. And through his mercy, how many knows there's a verse that says, his mercies are new every morning. I woke up the next day and I was myself again. And it's all him just by grace. I mean, it's his mercy. Lord, I'm ready. Really? Really, Gary, you think you're ready? Go to Galatians 5. Peter thought he was ready. I think many people, not only here in Tulsa at the prayer center, but all those that are linked with us, and it's not just Ohio and Florida. We got people in Australia. We got people in New Zealand. We got people in Germany. We got people all Brazil. There's so many people in Brazil that love the Lord and love this message. All around the world. And see, really only the Lord knows where we are. I remember that friend of Dave that preached here many years ago. Tim McFall was his name. And you know, he had signs and wonders, and him and Dave used to minister together, and they'd have signs and wonders and everything. But one time Tim, you know, he shared this, so it publicly, so it's okay to share it. He says, you know, I thought I'd kind of arrived, you know, I just thinking to myself, Lord, where am I on a scale of 0 to 100 in my transformation walk, you know? And he said, all of a sudden a thermometer appeared, like 0 to 100 on the back wall. And 0 was at the floor and 100 was at the ceiling. And I figured probably 70-80%, you know. You know, I figure somewhere around there. He says, and I'm asking, Lord, where am I on that scale? He's thinking 70-80. All of a sudden, a light started blinking 2 inches off the floor. Well, I hope to God we're not 2 inches off the floor, but if we are, there's still no other answer except this message. See? And the mind of Christ for this season is allow the Holy Spirit to complete the purging process. He's calling us to prayer, and I'm going to say again, not just private prayer at home. Thank God if you pray at home or on your job or at your car. He's calling us to corporate prayer. Little by little, we're seeing a little increase on Wednesday nights and Friday nights and Saturday prayer. We're seeing a little increase, but it should go up. He's being real nice. Galatians. Chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, one thing that was really good about my attack day, the flesh's counterattack, my flesh overplayed its hand. I knew it wasn't the devil. This is my flesh. And I know it's been legally declared dead. We can go to Romans 8. We could read the verse. Spirit is life. Flesh is dead because of righteousness. Isn't that right? But if you think it's dead to the point it's not going to fight you, see, it overplayed its hand. I mean, I caught you. You exposed yourself, flesh. Now, it's not an old nature. My sin nature has been eradicated. I have a new nature. It doesn't say. It said, look at that verse. Verse 17. For the flesh, that should be a little S. I know it's capital S in most of the King James Bibles around the room. This one should be a little S. I'm going to say it again. If Paul here is talking about your flesh in a war against God, the Holy Spirit, that's going to be the shortest war on record. It is not talking about that. It is talking about that new man on the inside of you, the part that is made in the image of Christ, the part that is created in righteousness and true holiness, the real you, is at war against the flesh. The flesh does not love God. I'm telling you right now. The flesh loves the flesh. And it wants what it wants. And it doesn't care what you want. It doesn't care about revival. It doesn't care about getting anybody out of no wheelchair. It only cares about itself. Okay? And it's a war. And this Galatians is written to believers, not the world. Believers, you need to understand, until we receive our glorified body, we're going to be at war with this one. Now, again, I remind you, this one can be retrained in great measure. My body knows what it is to be addicted to alcohol. It has not had a drink since 1980. It would like to have a drink. I'm not going to let it. Got it? My flesh would, it wouldn't care if we got back on nicotine. In fact, it would, if my flesh would, it wants to get high. It doesn't care. Nicotine, I mean, that to me, that's a, you know, cocaine, it doesn't care. Heroin, just give me something. Oxycodone, I don't care. Give me something. I want to feel it. I want to feel it. You know? The mantra of the flesh was during the hippie days, if it feels good, do it. If it feels really good, do it again. Anyway, that's the flesh. That's absolutely the flesh. And it has no more. My flesh today, even though I've been a Christian this year 40 years, my flesh today is no more saved than it was then. Now, it's been trained. It does not crave alcohol like it used to. It does not crave nicotine like it used to. It does not crave viewing pornography like it used to. It does not crave richness, the want to be rich like it used to, you know. Now, still, I like air conditioning. I like heat. I like food. I like comfort. I like all those things. But I've been on the field where I've eaten snails and crawly things. And wasn't my choice. I ate dog one time. Didn't know it at the time. They told me later. Dog tastes like chicken. I'm sorry to tell you that. It does. Dark meat. Dog meat tastes more like a thigh of a chicken. Gary, eat what is set before you. When you're out representing him, he said, eat what is set before you. Monkey brains, cold or hot? Anyway. I like my monkey brains chilled, please. Thank you. See, if you live by the flesh, your flesh is never going to let you do stuff like that. Come on. But there's some cultures, if you don't eat what they serve you, they're never going to listen to you about Jesus. Your flesh can just shut up. Okay. Are we ready? Are you ready? See? Verse 17. The flesh, and this, he's not talking to sinners, he's talking to Christians. Your flesh. Listen, born again person. Listen, you who really loves God, you who are a child of God, you who are in this season of prayer and fasting. Why? Because you want more of him. You who love God, you need to understand you are in a war with your flesh. Mine overplayed its hand. And I knew it wasn't the devil. Man, I knew it was my flesh. It's going, you think you're going, listen, I didn't hear these words, but this is, you say, you think you're going to take me into mortification? I'll show you who's the boss. This fasting, I'll show you. Prayer, we're going to watch TV. Sit there, buddy, and shut up. It wants to be the boss. It wants to tell me my future. It wants to even tell me who I am. And it is a liar. The flesh lusts against the spirit. And the spirit, you see, as strong as that was, there's a spirit, the real me, the inside of me, it has lust too. You know what it loves? Righteousness. It loves holiness. It loves purity. It loves truth. It loves the things of God, and it loves God. And it's at war with my flesh. And we better understand that. That is exactly why we're in this season of completing the purging process. Because we think we're more ready than we are. Peter sure thought he was ready. How many times did he deny him? Three times later on when Jesus appeared to him later after the resurrection. Took Peter aside. Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. Asked him the second time. Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Denied him three times. So Jesus asked him the third time. Peter, do you love me? See, the Peter that we read in Luke 22 would have said yes. But finally, Peter, He understood why Jesus was asking him three times. Peter says, Lord, you know. Peter finally bowed. I don't know myself like you know me, Lord. Lord, you know if I love you. You know. Well, the Lord knows if we're ready. Doesn't he? I'm looking at Lyle back here, my friend. We haven't spent a whole lot of time together in all these years, but I'll tell you one thing, he's still here. Lyle's been through his share, just what I know about. Still here. I look at Sarah Bishop back there, still here. Mike, Ryan, Jeff, I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose. You're still here. You're the ones, this 8:30 crowd, you're the ones I see most frequently at prayer with a few others. And I'm talking about corporate prayer. But only he knows really if we're ready. Only he knows that. And that's why exactly again he has us in this season complete the purging process. So I'm going to remind you again. Those 8 consecutive prophecies that are available at Dave's website. They're available at bronkflint.org. Please download those or whatever device you have. Get those in you. But more important than that, do what they say. And that means show up for prayer. I'm sorry to be so blunt. Show up. Change your schedule. Change your schedule. Hallelujah. Well, the next day after I recovered somewhat from my warfare with the flesh. Yes, sir. Let's finish this passage. And I'm going to come back to the next day. See, you got to understand what's going on, Christian. You who loves God, you're at war with something that doesn't. And it's not exactly the devil. It's your flesh. Okay? So it says, verse 17 again, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, little s, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See, that right there brings me to the new wine in the old bottle. Nobody does this. Nobody puts new wine in an old bottle. Why? The bottle will burst. It's weak. But this is exactly what Jesus had to do in this dispensation. Because in order to have authority in the earth, you have to have a body that's from the earth. But the new wine is the new birth. He's put this spirit, the spirit that's contrary to the bottle on the inside of you. Now you've got a spirit on the inside that is righteous and a flesh on the outside that is not righteous. And the war is on. Satan cometh, but he finds nothing in me. If Satan came sniffing around Jesus looking for handles, you think he's not coming at us? We better get purged. That's why the Holy Spirit just keeps, he won't relent. Complete the purging process. Okay. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See, fasting, I'm going to throw it in right here again. Dave would tell us again and again, fasting has the same effect on your old wineskin as if you had a new one. That fasting mortifies, puts the flesh in its place. Really, if you'll allow me, it lets you practice dominion in a non-lethal warfare that you can instigate anytime you want to. It's boot camp. It's training ground for warriors. Train. Teach that thing who's boss. Now you may have some counterattacks like I did. So you know what's happening this week? See, I'll just throw this in too. This week, starting today, the 19th. Today the 19th. Jim Martin at his church in Dayton, Ohio has declared. Now, fasting in the Bible, scriptural fasting, is always food. But this week, Pastor Jim has declared a media fast. Now what he means is, now it's not like you can't watch the teachings on YouTube and that type of thing. What he's talking about is all that other stuff. Facebook, social media, your favorite TV programs. For a week, what about a media fast? Why not? I'm going to do it. Just saying. Got to lead by example. Jim better do it. You hear me, Jim? We lead by example, right? But it's teaching my flesh, your flesh. It doesn't like anything that you deny it. Well, deny it stuff. Media is a good stuff to deny it once in a while. Most of you have, many of you have DVRs. You can record that stuff and watch it later. Hopefully we'll get mortified enough we don't even want to watch it later. See? Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now here he contrasts these two things. The works of the flesh are manifest. Now everything that we read here is stuff the flesh loves. Everything. This is what the flesh wants. Flesh loves this stuff. That's why you've got to fight against it. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And the very first one's adultery. Adultery and fornication. Remember those two if he allows me to get into this next part of the lesson. But nearly always at the top of the list is adultery and fornication. Uncleanness in today's world. Uncleanness and lasciviousness. That would be watching pornography or worse. Okay. Idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft is, the Greek word there is pharmakia, and it's really talking more about drug abuse than it is witchcraft, although it could be witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So this is not an exhaustive list, such like. Of the which I've told you in the past, that they which do such things, and that should be a habitually do, those which habitually do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans 8, he says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Habitually live after the flesh, you're going to die. If you give in to the flesh and live that way in these things, you're not going to make heaven. Is that clear enough? You're just not. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that should be a little s. He's not, although it's the Holy Spirit has all these fruits, but he's still talking about your reborn human spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. But boy, look at verse 24. And they which are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, if we say we're Christians, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk as he walked. Clear enough? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Hallelujah. So after my little flesh war, my one day, is that the only day you've had a flesh war? Going on with the lesson. After this particular flesh war, let's say it that way. Well, I'm seeking the Lord because I feel like, man, I got sucker punched yesterday. That was a bad day, Lord. And as I prayed, the instruction I got, I kept hearing the word abstain. And the particular verse was abstain from the appearance of evil. And so I had never really done a word study on abstain. So I did a search again with my little Bible app. And in the epistles, now not the four gospels, but in the epistles, that word only occurs four times in the King James Bible. If you want to write them down, I'll give them to you real quick. And surrounding verses for context. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, where it says that you should abstain from fornication. I hope I've got all these in sequence here. Number two, is 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and that is abstain from all appearance of evil. Number three is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this one, I'll just tell you ahead of time, this uses the word abstain in a doctrine of devils. And number four, and these pages, is 1 Peter chapter 2, 11. Abstain from lusts, fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's the only four times that it occurs in the epistles in the New Testament. Well, fasting is abstinence, isn't it? You're abstaining from food. Dave has taught us many things about abstinence, or about fasting, rather. Part of me hesitates to go through those again because I think most of you, in the sound of my voice, most of you could probably teach on fasting whether you do it or not. I didn't say that out loud, did I, Alan? That didn't go out, did it? Oh, my God. Well, you could teach on prayer whether you do it or not. Isn't that right? So rather than me go back, because you can just play Pastor. All those teachings are available at his website. You know, I mean, it's good to go back and hear Pastor Dave. I can't do it as well as he did it anyway. Just listen to him teach it. Again, it's good for you during fasting season. But let's talk about abstain for a little bit. So let's just start with the first one. We'll never get through with this today, but it's a start. Because the question is, are we ready? Are we really? If we were ready, why would he be telling us through those eight prophecies, complete the purging process? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now the verse we're after is verse 3. But I like context. I had a good teacher named Dave Roberson. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Do you notice that? There's radical grace preachers today tell you that Paul preached a different gospel than Jesus. That's just not true. Here again, Paul says, you know what we taught you? We gave you the commandments, the same ones that were given by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another subject. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, sanctification means set apart. Come out from among them and be you separate. That's sanctification. We're not like the world. Okay? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, I want to give you an expanded definition of fornication here in a minute, because in America... In 2020, when we think of the word fornication, we think of one kind of particular sin. Usually, sex outside of marriage. But, you know, we think of adultery as a married person having sex with somebody besides their marriage partner. And in America today, that's the way the word is used. And we think of fornication as two unmarried people, normally, having intercourse. But the word really goes much beyond there, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the commandment is real clear. Abstain from fornication. Well, abstain means just what you think it means. Don't do it. Stay away from it. Okay? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified you, and testified rather, as we have warned you. Warned you about what? Don't be thinking you're getting away with anything. The Lord is the avenger of such. The Lord is. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Say it with me. God has called me to holiness. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Say, I'm called unto holiness. Say it with me. Say it out loud. I am called unto holiness. Body, you are going to live a holy life because I am going to force you. Verse 8, he therefore that despiseth, I've got to tell you now, if we get this far today, he therefore that despiseth what? This commandment to abstain from fornication? Despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now there it is talking about the Holy Ghost. Now this is concerning our walk, how we live our daily lives in order to please God. Now he loves you. Listen, every parent, I got Angie's in the room today. My other two daughters, they listen to the, you know, Amanda lives in Montana now, but she listens to most of the messages. I love my daughters. I've always loved my daughters. I love them on their good days. I love them on their bad days. But I got to tell you, there's days when they pleased me and days when they didn't please me. It did not mean I didn't love them. It means they were stupid. Don't go with that guy. They went with that guy. Don't go get drunk. They went and got drunk. You understand what I'm saying? They're always my daughters. I always loved them. But they, you know, but when he says in order that we may please God, he's not kidding. When it says our reasonable service is to present our body holy, who are we presenting it holy to? To God. And it has that word acceptable. See, we're going into revival. If you do know it's the Father in us that does the works. Well, he's in our bodies. And what if words mean anything? We're supposed to present our bodies holy, which is acceptable. Then if I'm trying to present it to him unholy, is it acceptable? No. No, it's not. We wonder why we don't have revival. Hello? Quiet in here. This is concerning our walk, how we live our daily lives in order to please God. Notice in verse 2, Paul says these commandments are by the Lord Jesus himself. We are sanctified from the world. And one way that we walk in that sanctification is that we abstain from fornication. Now, see, I'm looking around the room here, and I know most of you pretty well. And I don't think people in this room, most probably the vast majority watching or listening, are in actual fornication. You might be surprised how many are. But this room, let's just talk this room. I know probably not. Not in the way that we think of it as an unmarried person having sex with another unmarried person. Okay? Outside of marriage. But wait till we get to the definition of fornication. Okay? So, the way the Greek word is used in the Bible lets us know that fornication, biblically, scripturally, is more than just sexual intercourse between two people outside of marriage. It does include that, but it includes much more as well. So here we go. Let's just start with the Strong's. Fornication, Strong's, G4203. Now see if this word sounds familiar. You know what the Greek word is? And I'll probably pronounce it wrong, and I don't care. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. Pornea. G. Does that sound like a modern English word? Porno. Pornography. It includes, scripturally, harlotry. Well, I had to look up harlotry. Harlotry in modern English is prostitution. Okay, so that's a, I would not have thought that was what was fornication. That's not what we think of, really, when we hear the word fornication in modern America. But scripturally, it includes, and I found it, I'm not going to go through them all today, but sure enough, it does include prostitution. Okay, male or female, by the way. It does include adultery. It also includes incest, scripturally. Figuratively, Strong says, it's idolatry. Because God is so strongly against it that if you embrace it, you're turning from God to do so. So Thayer is another like Strong's. He's another Greek scholar. He has a Greek dictionary, which I like really well. And here's his, there's a lot more. The first part of it means illicit sexual intercourse. It means adultery, fornication. I'm just reading from Thayer's, homosexuality, lesbianism, and intercourse with animals. Another one is sexual intercourse with close relatives. And it speaks of Leviticus 18. As a metaphor, Thayer says, it's the worship of idols, the worship of other gods. See, we don't have this so much in America in this way, but then, especially like Corinth, which was a naval town, you know, it's a seaport. And part of the worship, they would have temple prostitutes. Boy, I bet the flesh liked that religion. Let's go worship God. Yeah. Flesh right on board with that. But see, it's a form of idolatry, and it was included in many of the pagan religions as part of the worship. And the last one here by Thayer is, it is the defilement of idolatry. It would include eating the sacrifices that you know for sure have been offered to an idol in that culture. Okay. Going back to our verse here, verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess your vessel is talking about your body. Are you going to own it? That's your body. Who owns who here? Who's the boss? Possess your vessel. It means you are the boss of your body. It means you keep it under subjection. The same way Jesus did. Remember, he was tempted in all points like we are. Well, isn't that his flesh? Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. How did he do that? The sanctified. No. No. Put you on the cross. No. And Paul, he plainly says that he had to keep his body under subjection. I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Who does it? God? Holy Ghost? Who does it? I. Paul says I do. God has given you dominion. In one of the early prophecies in those eight, it says, from the very day you were born again, I establish you head and shoulders above sin. You can say no. It's your choice. Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, we keep our body under the dominion of our spirit. That's the warfare. We keep it under subjection. We keep it sanctified from the world. We keep our body as a vessel of honor. And that's why Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Like, I'm starting to do this as part of my worship every morning, especially during this season. I get up in the morning and part of my worship is, Lord, this day, right now, I present this body for your use. I present it holy. I want it to be acceptable. I want you to feel comfortable here. Alan, do you notice all the amens? All the... Now, I know he's comfortable in... See, as I say that, I don't mean to imply he's not in you. He is. How is he in us? By his own grace. When he gave you Jesus Christ, when you got born again, he created that spirit on the inside of you, which is his dwelling place. But he's asking us to present our body. See, he did that for you. He did that. Now he's asking you to do something. Because he did that and he gave you that power, now he's saying, I want you to use that to keep your body under subjection. You need to present your body to me, holy and acceptable by me for my use. Hello, revival. Hello, revival. So I wrote, if we do not present our body wholly to the Lord, if words mean anything, because it says right there, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, if we don't present it holy, is it acceptable? According, if words mean anything, no. Be rejected. It's a... He's provided a Holy Spirit for him to dwell in us, but he's left it up to us to provide a holy body for him to use. Now I'm understanding better a lesson I did last year sometime, fasting unto him. A few of you may remember that, fasting to him. Because in Matthew 6, when he talks about fasting, he says, don't let people know you're fasting. This is something between you and your Father. And if you do it in secret, he will reward you openly. More and more I'm finding out how he rewards you openly as he manifests his presence when you speak. When you pray, what you pray happens. What you say happens. But you're fasting to him to present your body holy to him, to present your body acceptable, where he accepts it for his use. Now he provided the Spirit by grace through faith. But he's plainly telling us, you got to present your body holy or it's not going to be presented holy and acceptable for his use. See, our body is the temple of God, the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn here either. We've preached all these before. It's line upon line, stone by stone. He's building on everything that's been taught. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. You don't have to turn there. Flee fornication. Flee. It's the same Greek word used over there when it says submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That word flee carries the connotation as in terror. Well, I'll bet if God shows up, devil's going to flee. Well, it's telling us with that same thing, flee fornication. And I'm telling you right now, because we're running out of time, previews of coming attractions. This fornication that the Bible talks about in modern America today, pornography would be the number one thing. And if you read these studies that they do, I don't know how they get these surveys, and even these surveys that says zama percent, and it's like more than 50%. I forget, I didn't bring the numbers with me. 60, 70, 80% of pastors, Christian pastors, not just the people, Christian pastors in America have an addiction to pornography. And we wonder where revival is. And it's fornication. It is a form of fornication. Because Jesus plainly said, I know I'm 5 pages ahead, but we're running out of time. Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with that adultery, that lust in your heart, you're guilty. Well, you don't watch pornography not to lust. Come on. It is adultery, plain and simple. It is fornication. It's a form of it. It's idolatry. And the church is rampant with it. My body, if I let it, even at age 73, my brain will release. If I let it watch, my brain will release chemicals that it finds pleasurable. Even if I don't do anything to stimulate my body to have any kind of reaction. Church. We'll talk more plainly over lunch, but anyway. You know what I'm talking about. Even if I don't go that far, just the watching, they say, causes chemicals, endorphins and other things that are pleasurable. That's why you want to do it again. But just like any addiction, you got to do a little more to get the same hit, same high. You got to do a little more the next time. And before long, you're in bed with this other person and wonder how you got there. Well, sin, lust has finally conceived, and sin was the baby. You know? Oh, my goodness. I didn't finish reading 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication, I'm going to include pornography, sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body, now notice the way this is worded, your spirit is too, but he's trying to make a point. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And you're not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Quickly, verse 6. Let me read verse 6 to you again from our passage in Thessalonians. Verse 6 says, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned and testified. Well, I know it's worded there, don't go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. And if you read the commentaries, they get it off into all kinds of things. But if you leave it in context, he's talking about don't sleep with your brother's wife. Just plain and simple. Stop it. Whether you're actually sleeping with her or lusting after her, quit it. Make a covenant with your eyes, like Job said. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to let it look at. I'm not going to let it. How did King David get in trouble with Bathsheba? He saw her bathing. Make a covenant with your eyes. Hallelujah. So verse 6 in context means do not commit sexual sin with your brother's wife. And this is just really, it's from the Ten Commandments. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. That thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's, that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay? So the best, and when it talks about God being the avenger of such, you don't even want to know what that word means. In plain English, it means punisher. Punishment. I know what it is to go to the woodshed with my father, O.R. Carpenter. I know what that is. I do not want to go to the woodshed with God, my spiritual father. Okay? But if you think you're getting away with something, he's watching. And Paul said, I warned you about this before. God is the avenger of such. Don't be thinking you're going to get away with anything. Verse 7, forgive me, Alan. Verse 7, simple but profound, we are called to holiness. Holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Oh, and I'm going to have to leave this last part. It's the most important part. No, I'm not. I can do it quick. Verse 8 says, I want to read it. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit. Despiseth, if you look it up in Strong's G114, the Greek word is A-T-H-E-T-E-O, to set aside, that is by implication to disesteem, to neutralize or violate. It means to cast off, to despise, to disannul, to frustrate, to bring to nothing, to reject. Thayer's definition says to do away with, to set aside and disregard, to thwart the effectiveness of anything, to nullify, make void and frustrate, to reject, to refuse, and to slight. That's Thayer's definition of that word, despiseth. The English definition of despiseth is this. Number one, to despise, to have contempt, to scorn, to disdain. And it says we're doing this to God, not man. Doing this to God. All you young men and maybe older men watching pornography, every time you do it, you're doing this to God. English definition, that was number one. Number two, to regard as unworthy of one's notice or consideration. Number three, suggests an emotional response ranging from strong dislike to pure loathing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway, God. Number four, it implies a vehement condemnation of a person or thing as low or vile. And you're doing this to God. So if I commit sexual sin, including watching pornography, last paragraph, the word right here, the one we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8, the word says, when I do that, I'm just going to take it what's most common today, shacking up or watching pornography. Okay? It includes a lot of other things, but let's just take those two because that's what's rampant in the church. When I engage in either one of those, the word says, I am despising God. I am scorning Him. I'm counting Him and His counsel unworthy of my notice or my consideration. It implies that I dislike Him almost to the point of loathing. And I consider God as being low and vile. And the end result is, I will do what I want. And I don't care what you think about it, God. Every time we do it, the word says we're despising God like that. Let us complete the purging process. We'll see you in 30 minutes.